Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this.
Please, and remember, there is always
more than one way to skin a cat. So, me saying that, you may not like the things that I talk about, and that's fine. If you choose, like, you don't like what I talk about, well, then, you know, then don't tune in. But if you're curious, then that's fine, too. You know, I don't have any beef with that. By saying this, I'm saying thank you to the people who are tuning in to my show that is making my show better, because I may not have live listeners because it's so late at night, and I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. You know, people got to work, and I got a show going on every day of the week, and people sometimes can't do it, and I don't do it on the weekends anymore. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am glad that you go back and you listen to my archives. I appreciate it, because without you, there is no Sound Off Forums, right? Second thing I want to bring up is this, my little homies and homettes, brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been spending pretty much part of the day being mind-baffled, being brain-beaten by the Bilderberg group that will be meeting, I think this coming weekend. They're going to be meeting for 3 days, 3 to 4 days in England. And all I'm going to say is please go to my website and check out the names. I have looked at the names. I have read a little bit about them. Does not mean that I know everything about them. But there are some very interesting things about these people that are on the Bilderberg list. First, I'm only talking about the Americans. And the reason why I'm specifically talking about Americans is because it would take longer than either maybe 2 or 3 months to actually find out the connection to everybody and why they're linked. Mm-hmm. I personally, I'm not spending that much energy on it, because that's whatever they're going to do, they're going to reveal it in the future. Notable membership that's there, who's going to be there, who's been there for many times, is Henry Kissinger. We've already talked about Mr. Kissinger himself on our show many of times, but he's a senior member. And if you look at the photos of these people, ladies and gentlemen, they are young, bright, Caucasian people. That's all I'm going to say, because there's no black people on this list. There are 14 women on the list, not Americans, but 14 women, period, on the list, on the Bilderberg list. But these people are at your top echelon. The connection that they have education-wise, either they have a connection with Stanford, Harvard, or Oxford. There's a couple people who have sprinkled around different places. There's one man who has got his education from Israel. Another lady who's got her education from the University of Chicago. But it is very interesting who has been invited again. These are young, bright minds. There's two things that caught me off guard. First thing that caught me off guard was they have invited these internet type moguls to the conference, and there's a gentleman who is a professor at Harvard that, I don't know if he's there now, but I know that he gave a speech, and he was giving a speech about technology and how technology and how digital copies or digital technology should be allowed to use and not be infringed under copyright law. Why is he gone? I have no idea, but that's very interesting, because The next thing that was intriguing was this young gentleman. I mean, he's not young, but he's one of the creators of PayPal. And he has spent, I mean, literally billions of dollars trying to fund different things about, you know, like being able to live in the sea and stuff like, you know, the futuristic type stuff. This guy has funded that type of stuff. And if you get a chance, I post it on my website. You can go do your own research. You can go look up this stuff. But I'm gonna get it back to the gentleman, and he has put in I believe $1.2 million into the anti-aging technology. So he has actually created a foundation where he has a scientist who's in charge of it. They're trying to do this stuff, okay? So, hey, I mean, there's just a lot of things that's going on. I'm not specifically saying this is what they're going to the meeting for, because they're going to the meeting to talk about all kinds of stuff. Majority of the people that are going to America, that are coming from America, going to the conference are either economists, or they have something to do with the financial world. I mean, they have something to – listen to what I'm saying. These people are millionaires. They make lots of money. That's not one of those, you know, these are tycoon people. You know what I'm saying? They got mega bucks in their bank. So if you get a chance, just go, you know, peek around and see. And then there's one more thing that I want to bring up, because it's very intriguing to me, and then we'll get started. Why in the world is General Petraeus being invited to the meeting? Yes, you heard me right. The old CIA ex-director, the one who was caught in the scandal, the four-star general who commanded COSCOM and AFCON and all those cons and cons in the army, great decorated soldier. But he's being invited to the Bilderberg group. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very interesting. And if that did not pique your interest, then you guys have lost the concept of who this man is. This man has plethora of information of almost every nation in the world. He has worked with so many allies, so many foreign people. So he has so many connections. For him to get another job would not be hard at all. I'll just say that. But anyway, so I wanted to bring those things up because those are the things that hit me today, and I want to share that to you before we get deep in the Barn series. You know how we do. We get deep on this show, and we don't let up, okay? So without further ado, you can find me at george.mango.904. You can also find me on Sign Off Forums on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter at signoff97413. You can also email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. You can also call in 347-989-1014. If not, that's okay. I'll do all the talking. If you'd like to go to my website is the official Sign Off Forums website. It's up at Sound Off Forums with three F's and an S at the end, .org, .net, .com, .info, however you want to look at it, it's there. Okay? So without any further ado, we'll do Ephesians 6:6-13, New King James Version. And then, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your masters are also in heaven, neither is there respect of the person with them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, Take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand within the day, and having all the done to stand. And let the church say, amen, amen, amen. All right. So what I will do for you is kick it off with a clip. And I want to play this clip because it will bring us to what we'll be talking about wrapping up this series for today, for this week in sorts, unless something comes up that I foresee. All right, here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to play that part, and I will the reason why I played that part is because in this scene, the gentleman, let me find him. What is his name? Oh, Lord. In this scene, Eric Binder, who is this real bad butt ass kind of guy, and for some reason he is a retired colonel that went to work for the government, and he has this. I can't even tell you what kind of, like, job he had, but he gets confronted by a general, a four-star general, and they go in and they do their talk. They're talking, and he is really, the general is really frustrated by what he needs to do. But back to what the scene is, like I said, Eric Beyer is talking to Aaron Cross, who is the operative. Back then, he was doing regular super soldier work, and he went to him specifically because he got some bad intel, and I guess apparently he went and killed some innocent people. And so the buyer, I'm just going to call him Ghost because that's what he is according to the system. The Ghost director goes up to Aaron Cross and tells him, "We are sin eaters." Now, I'm going to finish that. We are sin eaters, and we do what is necessary. We take on what we need to do, and then if whatever happens, we bury it deep because it is necessary for us to continue our mission. And so when he said that, I'm like, man, that is a very intriguing memory for him because he remembered that connection with Cross and him talking to Aaron Cross. So why is Beyer having a moment thinking about Cross at this point? Very interesting. And why did he specifically tell him we need to be a sin eater? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have never heard of this in my life. So I decided to go and do some research. And would you have known, being a sin eater is a real thing? So check this out. The term sin eater refers to a person who, through ritual means, would take on the means of food and drink, the sins of the household of before of the recent death, and absorbing the souls or allowing that person to rest in peace. In the study of folklore, sin eaters are considered to be a form of religious magic. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't go looking for this stuff. I don't. I do not go looking for this stuff. It popped up in my lane. Okay? So I've been talking about the cynical magic. I've been talking about the witchcraft. I've been talking about all that stuff. And what comes up out of the movie, something he is telling Aaron Cross to do, is to be a sin eater. What he is saying is everything, I'm going to get back to all the other stuff in a minute, but my interpretation of what he said was, look, Aaron, whatever sins those persons have done, you take and you bury it deep. You take your sins and bury it deep, because whatever had happened or was to happen, we've got to make timely decisions based on what we need to do at the time. So if you go and you mess up, or we go and we succeed, good or bad, suck it up, digest that memory, and move on, because there is another soul that we need to go relieve. Okay? And, okay, Let me finish this scent eater thing, because it's really, really intriguing to me. All right. It says magical thinking in various forms of a culture universal, and is an important aspect of religion. In many cases, it becomes a difference or important to draw any meaningful line between belief and practice that are magical versus these things of our religion. But in the general, the term religion is reserved for an organized cult with a priesthood and designed sects of worship and sacrifice, which magic is predominantly in all of the societies regardless of whether they have organized religion or more than the subject of animism or shamanism. Religion and magic become conceptually separate when developing the Western monotheism, where the distinction arises between the supernatural events sanctioned by the mainstream religious doctrine, like miracles, and mere magic rooted in folk belief or cult specifics. In the pre-monotheologic times, heroic demons, deities are spiritual guides. Those things, I'm going to have to save this page because this, when I do the fourth kind, because I'm going to have to do it, and I'll do it this week. Because that's good. But anyway, so the interesting thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, is the sin eaters, it's been used in pop culture before. And I was looking at, you know, different things, and then there was a movie played by Heath Ledger. It was called The Order, and it's really weird because I'm going to read part of it. I'm not going to read all of it because it gets really kind of crazy. But I've never seen the movie. I've never even heard of it. So here's the plot. It says the film proceeds. Premise is this, that another way to heaven through adherence of practicing a Roman Catholic Church, a skeptical sin eater can remove all tainted taints of sin. no matter how foul, from the soul that just died. The purified soul can be ascended into heaven. The Roman Catholic Church, according to this film, considers this heresy. Okay, and then Heath Ledger plays an unhappy and disillusioned priest, Alex Benderer, a member of a fictional religious order called the Calvinism, which specializes in fighting demons and other hell spawns. Father Dominique, the head of the Carolisms, has died in Rome under a unsuspected situation, and Alex leaves the United States to investigate. In Rome, Alex visits the morgue and sees the strange markings on Dominique's corpse. After some investigation, he comes across a book that explains the markings being the signs of a sin eater's work. He heads to the Vatican, where an official tells him that sin eaters don't exist and that Dominique may not be buried in the sanctuary sacred grounds because he was an excommunicated for his beliefs. Alex moves over farther from his convictions and defies his superstitions and secretly reads a holy service over the body and buries Dominique in the cemetery. So I'm not going to get deep into the thing because that's something you should go look up and whatever. But I found that very interesting that Heath Ledger is part of another demonistic movie. And I mean, his life was so short. This film was a horror film, and it was made in 2003. So getting back to the Sin Eater type thing, I just wanted to bring that to your mind because bring it to the forefront because it is used in the film. And the words that he used were specific for cross. And it was only specifically used for cross. So because he said that, that's why I went and looked it up. Okay? So let me finish playing this clip. And this will be my last clip that I will play. We can wrap this up.
Tell me this is why we're having this conversation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I played that clip because that general was really mad because, first of all, he wasn't able to do the things that he needed to do before until these programs got off the ground. Now that he's off the ground, now it's off the ground, he does not want to give those operatives up, but little to announce to him, those operatives have already been killed. So, hey, they just got to keep it moving. I think that more people would be comfortable with knowing that sometimes the government doesn't tell the truth. I think some people will be okay with that. But what people really can't stand is being lied to or being told one thing and then been act on another, especially when, you know, they feel like they're being fooled. So what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to get people to realize and understand is that when we start talking about these issues of movies, entertainment, Hollywood, the music industry, and then you throw in the government, that's a lot of ground to cover, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of ground to cover. And so when we start talking about the Bourne series and how an agent turned from being an actual servant of to being a gatekeeper to, does it make a difference for you? And let me explain that. You see, first he was working in the belief that he was doing good for the nation. But then he realized he needed to be a gatekeeper for the people who are innocent. He didn't even question why he should kill somebody, because his job was not to question. His job was to kill. And then you say, well, he knew what he was getting into when he decided. So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is the same thing we say about our soldiers. Well, he knew what he was getting into when he signed. Okay, so when Dr. Sharon was at her house and she was, like, freaking out, and the agent pretended to be a doctor said, did you read the disclaimer in your contract? And she got really upset, like, yeah, I can read, but that's not the questions I need to be asked. What the agent or the doctor who was posing as a doctor was asking her is, there's certain things that you sign up for that you may not be allowed to do. And they can tweak the clause any way they shake or twist on it. Because as you watch the movie, they say the director of the CIA, Kramer, says to everyone, well, we know that Pam would get involved and we would hang it around her neck. So they leave her to be the scapegoat, okay? They're going to wrap that milestone around her neck. And then she's going to sink for it, okay? And then everything will go by its business. They're going to charge her with treason for something she didn't do. Well, as an American, whose side do you take? Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and think about that. We've got Pam who wants to help an agent find out who he really is so he can straighten out his life. But on the other side, you've got the entity saying that she's breaking the law. And that's treason. And you say, well, if you break the law, then you should go. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you personally. No. I can guarantee 100% people do not follow the laws and the rules and regulations to anything every day. I guarantee that. I guarantee. So what I'm trying to say is you can't be a rock thrower in a glass house because you can't understand. You won't get it. Everybody's like, well, the law is this and the law is, come on, we know what the law says, but it's not what the law says, it's how the law is interpreted. That's the point. And you say, well, it can be interpreted only one way. Well, we know it should be only interpreted one way, but when it comes to these people who wants to do it by any means necessary, they have their own set of rules, period. See, Pam thinks that the lawyer that she got hired is working for her, when all the while, the lawyer's actually working back for the government. So he's a double agent. I mean, come on, y'all. Let's be for real about these things. So let's draw a line in the sand, because a lot of people like to draw a line in the sand. Let's draw a line in the sand. So you've got the U.S. government, you've got Pam, Nikki, and Jason Bourne. Usually I say there's a gray area, but at this point, the government says neutralize Nikki and Jason Bourne, get rid of them. Okay? The government says neutralize Aaron Cross and all the other agents, including the doctor, all the doctors. So where are we at this point? We've got good fighting good, right? But somewhere along the line, the fork in the road hit. And when they hit, they didn't even blink. They just hit. Whose side do you take? Remember we talked about the doctor yesterday? Proud to be an American, thought she was doing all kinds of great things for the American, for the world, for people, and yet still to come out at the back end of the ordeal to see that she will have to suffer because she's helping somebody that she's been seeing for 13 years. She's seen 13 times and done research on and all this stuff, but she's made out to be the bad guy. And I know you're going to say once again, but George, it's just a movie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of this broadcast, I stated that there was a billionaire who is trying to find the key of the aging, anti-aging, whether that it be chemically or biological. I don't know. Maybe you could take a pill. Maybe it's traced in the body. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, if he is this billionaire putting up millions of dollars creating a fund for this, people are paying. Like you have got to be unaware of what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to stop being naive and stop being stupid. Okay. When George Bush Jr. was in office, the biggest thing they would always argue about was, can we legalize stem cells? That's all the debate was. And then they finally began to be able to do it by the passing of the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the dawn, that was the era, the beginning of what is to come. Because all that stuff, they've been working on this stuff, but they have to now, you see, that black op money don't need to be hit no more. Now we can put it on the, who's going to pay the bill? Who's going to get the funding? Well, the food, we already talked about this yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration, the agriculture, the health department. Come on, y'all. You see, all that fun, they're getting billions and millions of dollars to fund these operations. And you think, okay, ladies and gentlemen, when I pulled up that chart and it said when cancer was first made aware of, and that was in 1937, they have been trying to find a cure for cancer since 1937, ladies and gentlemen. How many trillions, I'm not going to say billions because we're in trillions now. How many trillions of dollars have been put into research in order to find a cure for cancer? How many man hours have been put in to find it? But yet and still, check this out. You've got a department. Let me pull it up. Let me pull it up for you because I know y'all think I'm tripping and don't know what I'm talking about. Let me find it. Let me assure you, there's some places that cannot be accessed by the public. And you would say, well, yeah, they can't be accessed by the public because, you know, it's military and stuff like that. Ladies and gentlemen, these places are so protected, You would be, it is very scary. I mean, you can't even, okay, let me tell you about this, okay? So Fort Detrick is a Army Medical Command installation of Frederick, Maryland, okay? The center is a biological weapons program in 1943 to 1969. Since then, it's been discontinued, that program. It hosts the most elements of biology defense program. And out of that, they, as early as 2010, Fort Detrick, 120 square acres campus, supported a multi-governmental community. What does that mean, multi-governmental? What? Community? That means from many countries as you can think of may be here. Okay, so let me add this onto this, okay? That conducts biomedical research and development, medical materials, material management, global medicine communication, and the study of foreign plant pathogens. It is home to the United States Medical Research and Material Command. It is also a biodefense agency, the U.S. Army Medical Research Institution of Infectious Diseases. It is also the host for the National Cancer Institute, and it is the home for the Interagency Confederate of Biological Research. And it is also the National Interagency of the Biodefense Campus. Fort Detrick is the largest employer in Frederick County. Now, I want to find that one. Anyway, so what happened was is one of these times they had this this chemical thing and it really went bad, and these people got injured, and then so they had to move it. And this is where They were afraid of all of the very dangerous diseases would escape. And so if you remember, people were very scared about them attacking Fort Detrick during the 9/11 because it was because it holds all these dangerous viruses and pathogens and all this other stuff, which I don't understand, so I don't really I'm not going to get into the deepness of that, but for those who do understand those type of things, I would recommend you to please go and check this stuff out. It is very it is very ugly. It's very ugly. And when I say very ugly, it is a scary place because of what it contains and what it holds. I personally do not know I don't know anyone who's ever worked at Fort Detrick. So it'd be interesting to, you know, it would be interesting to talk to someone who's ever actually stayed there. Maybe, you know, not get any type of, you know, real dirt or anything. I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for just the average work day and what they do and what kind of drills they run and stuff like that. And man, I tell you, I'm looking at this and out of this place, they ran human live experimentations on people, not only in America but around the world. And wow, okay, yeah. Wait, I mean that seems familiar. I am have to say that. Okay. Anyway, so yeah. So you know, it is a very scary place. Fort Detrick is a very scary place, and I wanted to bring that up because when you start talking about biological things, you start talking about pathogens, you start talking about viruses, those are the things that we needed to be aware of, and it is definitely not a place you want to go take a vacation, all I'm saying. But if you do go take a vacation there, you can't get on unless you got an ID card or you got one of those installation passes to get on there. I'm not even sure I can get on there. So anyway, so this is a recap of what I was trying to get everybody to understand. Is this: we go to school to learn. We go to school to believe in the great values of America. And regardless of how you grow up, it isn't an influence. But when you get that education, whoever is your educator molds you into a certain thought of how things play out because you're in school. It's different when you get at home. So when you're at school, you get this education, and you're thinking, you know what, the sky's the limit for me, especially if I understand that. But you got to take in the values and the norms and the customs with your family, and that's the other interesting part. So if you are in a conservative family, more than likely you're not a woman who's going to be, and I could be wrong about this, a breakout person. You want to be more and I'm talking about upper echelon elite people here. When I talk about going to private schools and stuff like that. Not saying that us common people aren't like that, but most liberal people are most people who don't grow up in a spoon-fed home want to be stay-home moms. You know, that's either by choice or circumstance. So it's one of those things where we need to understand. Like I said, we need to understand where we're going, okay? And when we get to that point where we're going, we say, ha, we've made it. Now it's at the point of networking. once you get there. And the thing that I've always, it's to me, networking, I never like doing it. It's just me. It's a personal thing for me. But anyway, when we start talking about networking, it is a slippery slope because you can meet up with people that can put you in places that you really want to go. But in order to get there, you may have to cut back some fat. There might be certain things that they ask you to do that you may be like, what, really? And then you think about it, you say, well, you weigh the odds. I can be put in the position, make more money, have a great title. Yeah, we might as well do it, right? Because you come from nothing. So you get in the position, and then at that point, you're in it, and you forget about all the other stuff that you once believed in because you're so enthralled, or you're so in working on your projects, or you're networking, or you're going to socials, and you're doing all these things. And then every once in a while, something slaps you in the face. God gives you a wake-up call. And you say, something's fishy here. I don't remember. Well, maybe, And you start thinking, hey, whatever happened to this? What, and then you start getting drawn. See, that is the sin eater mentality. You see, because you put all that down, you stepped all it down, and then now it's trying to resonate, trying to come back up, trying to ascend back to who you are. And tell you what, man, either you bury it deep and drink a lot of water, or you're going to go become afloat. And when you start putting in higher echelon jobs, jobs that comes with security clearances and things like of this nature, and you're working for these different corporations, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to work for government. You can work for a contractor, right? You can work for a company that is contracted by the military. They go and get the bid, and then now your company is working in parallel with the military. And so you're still a part of the entity that you know of, but the higher echelons are dealing with the military. They're dealing with the government. And you don't even know it. So what I'm saying is then it comes to the code of ethics. And I brought this up yesterday, but I was thinking about it more so today. What would happen if cloning humans was legal? Would they and should they have the same rights as humans? Now, there's a lot of variables and factors that would play into that, but that's just a question. Because it's not like it's not far in the future. Because we talk about robots, being this and all kinds of things like that. Listen, when the gate is open, and it will be open, who and how are we going to protect our children? Because right now there's some things that just don't make sense to me, but that's not for this show. But when you can tell a person, ma'am, I know this may seem like our last result, but there is an experimentation that we could use in your surgery. It's not a guarantee it'll work. But if you like to sign as a disclaimer, this could save your life. Now, I would guarantee you would hear this in every hospital around the world. I guarantee it. Maybe not every day, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a year, but you will hear it, ladies and gentlemen. To give somebody some type of hope and with a substance that has not even been tested on humans yet, and for them to say, well, this may save you, and you agree to it, ladies and gentlemen, now we are considered to be test subjects. And so how are we any different, ladies and gentlemen, than the people that are doing the bad things? And I'm talking from not personal experience, but there was a situation that I know that's close to my family that happened. And so to prolong death based off of something that's been experimented on humans, and so now you're saying, okay, we don't have to force you to do it, but we can put you in your most vulnerable state and give it to you. Either way, I think you're going to get it. You see where I'm going with this? So, ladies and gentlemen, it is a chapter of building that, one, we don't really trust our physicians. For, I mean, I don't know a lot of people who trust their physicians. If you do, that's good for you. But when it comes to operations and things of that nature, I'm just very skeptical. And I mean, to tell you, I know a lot of people who are nurses and that stuff. I don't know a lot of physicians. I don't really, you know them, or oral surgeons or anything like that. But listen, it is very fascinating to me that it is known cases where people were given hysterectomies, their tooth tied and all this stuff, when, you know, the age of Henry Kissinger were trying to do population control. And these people, their lives have been ruined because of that. And you don't think that, okay, I'm not going to even go there with that, but I will go there, well, I can't go there with that, because it ties into what we're talking about. So when I was doing research on this subject, and we're talking about the nanotechnology, when we're talking about the nanotechnology, a very interesting thing popped up into my face, and that would be water conservation, water purification, right? And the reason why, for me, that is interesting, it's an interesting topic, is because why in the world, first of all, why, when we talk about water treatment, right? So why in the world are we using nanotechnology for water treatment? Okay, well, we already know about nanotechnology itself, but in order to clear all these toxins out of the water, they're saying that they're using nanotechnology to screen all the small little things. But my question is if they are using this technology, then why are people still getting sick? I am not saying that they have already implemented nanotechnology, but if the idea is to use water filtrifications on a mass scale to stop polluted water, I mean, it's kind of hard to stop polluted water or toxin waters or foreign objects that are in the water, especially if they're big. But if they're small, like the microscopic organisms that could be stopped by the nano material, then that would be great. But these things are still happening. And so now when you go and they go and do their testing, this is what I really would like you, ladies and gentlemen, to do. I like you, because every state has one. Every state has one. Every state has a water, what they call, Lord, a water guide. I was looking up the other day. And it's the National Association of Water, environmental thing or whatever. And every state has one. You need to go check out your water levels of toxicity, and all these type of things, all the environmental things that goes on into your water, especially if you live in the South. like Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, especially because of the oil spill that's going that happened. Okay, and so we don't know. We don't know the fabrication, the fabrications that have been made to say made us think that the waters are good to go, and we're eating fish, and we're eating shrimp, and we're eating all these different things out of the sea, and these birds and these animals that are living there still are being affected not only biologically but genetically. So when they have offspring, and offspring has offspring. Okay, are those offspring genetically altered? Are harmful to us? Because those things make a world of difference, ladies and gentlemen. You may not think that, but it does. And so when we're talking about dangerous little things as such in this nature, it's going to affect our bodies somehow, some way. It's going to affect us. And it may not affect us today, but it may not affect us tomorrow. But as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we have been getting sicker and sicker and sicker as a nation. Either your child has ADD, your child has, Alzheimer's or whatever it is, Down syndrome, and so we are getting sicker and sicker as a nation, and we know today healthcare does not fix us. It only patches us up before the next time we see our doctor, especially if you have a chronic illness, and it's really sad to talk about, really sad to think about, because it is one of those things where people believe in those things. Like, for example, what I'm saying is people believe in teachers. People believe in doctors. People believe in the mailman. These are people that we know to trust. We can trust the fireman. We can trust the priest. We can trust. And so now we're finding that these different entities that we find to trust, we can't trust teachers sometimes. We can't trust priests sometimes. We can't trust policemen and firefighters sometimes. And so it leaves us as a shattered nation of mistrust. And so now you talk about the government and the government trying to track our DNA. Speaking of DNA, let me play this clip for you real quick. It's very interesting. It's really out there, but let me play it, and then I'll talk about it.
So I think we'd need some ethicists with them, wouldn't we?
Well, you have nanocritics in the world. And there are nanocritics in the world saying you're touching on... Because you can actually build here weapon systems that are so magnificent or so devastating, depending on which side of the fence you sit on. Weapon systems that aren't just magnificent in their power, but also in what they can do. You know, maybe we can join together with the people who know how to do cloning and the DNA specialists and put a bomb that actually kills all radio announcers, you know. Or,
well, yes, okay. Thank you very much.
Or all people with dark hair or light hair or whatever. This subject is new, but it's been going around since 1959. In the 1940s even, von Neumann, the chap who helped with the computer revolution, was talking about self-replicating machines. NASA itself is saying and has said way in 1980, wouldn't it be great if we could actually take a whole one-ton load to the moon and have it self-replicating so it becomes a seed, like a little flower seed or potato seed. You put a ton of material up there, and through nanotechnology, self-replicating systems, artificial intelligence, and artificial life, we can start to produce all the material we need on the moon to do whatever we want to do on the moon rather than take payloads up. Now, if NASA's invested so much effort into this, then it can't be all that dark. So all the nano critics will have to start to get used to the nanoists taking the stage, nano systems, nano computers, nano factories.
So lots of things going on in the world of technology. Things have certainly taken off since they started to slice the bread with the automatic bread slicer.
The place to be.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say once again, I know those are a little far-fetched, but just think about what he said about being able to replicate on the moon. If we can somehow put something on the moon in order for it to have sustaining life, do you think we're going to actually, some people are actually going to stay on Earth? I mean, that's questionable. But the reality is this. In order for us to start believing in our country and in our nation, they have to give us something to believe for, to believe in. Because the way that it's going now, man, it sucks. How are we supposed to accept who we are and try to understand who we are when we have movies like this that pushes the envelope to what it could look like in the future, and we're not even in it? Not in it at all. I don't get it, man. I don't get it at all. I'm trying to stay positive. I'm trying to work up positive nerves. But it's getting deep, y'all. It's getting deep. And all I can say is this. The more you know, the more you're gonna grow. The more you know, the more you're going to grow. How can we ever truly rise as a society when we are still fighting the things that happened 400 years ago? Now we're fighting for gay and lesbian rights. We're going to be, I'm telling you, you know, that's our battle. We're battling right now. I'm not saying it's a positive or negative thing, but what I'm saying is, you know, when they start talking about these cloning opportunities or these medical opportunities that will revolutionarily change the way we look at things today, where does it stand? We do not have a baseline to have an opinion or a thought. We know what the Bible tells us. But do you have an idea of where they're going with this? And then when they do allow you to understand or know what's going on, are you going to be ready or able to step up to the plate and say, hey, I want to fight for something, and the way I'm going to fight for it is not what you thought I was going to fight for? Monsanto's and other companies like that, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've done a huge research about all the other companies that, you know, we know majority of the companies that deal as such, but I haven't, you know, I'm not going to spend my whole life doing research about these different characters and cats, because, I mean, honestly, you know, it won't do nothing for me. It won't do nothing for me at all. So they gonna do what they gonna do, and I'm gonna continue to do what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna sit here and try to track these clowns and every move they make. I mean, I ain't got time for that. Who got time for that? I ain't got time for that. That's something they got. I mean, that's something that they're gonna put out. We're gonna decode it, and we're gonna tell you guys what's the real deal. Just gonna be like, what's the real deal? And the things the things that you should know, you probably won't even think about that's coming in the future. Because I guarantee you, after this meeting, you see, the meeting that they have today will affect us in the future. It can't really affect us right now because they got to put all the pieces together. You got to put the pieces together. But once they put the pieces together and they find out what they're going to do, oh, yeah, they're going to give it to you. They're going to give it to you real, too. Give it to you real good. But we have to be on our feet. Got to be on our feet. And if not on our feet, then we're going to be bystanders. There was an interesting clip that I saw, and I know I'm going to the Bilderberg thing, but I'm say this, and then I'm going to bounce back off. And one of the guys that I was looking up, one of the things that he said was, the children today are not the same as we were. And he goes and he shows a picture of these people staring at the screen and like robots and just, you know, being mind controlled. And then the other one was, they were showing this picture of this guy walking as Jesus or something like that. And he's walking around and and he says he's singing that with Donna, you know, I Will Survive song, and I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was very interesting, but you know, he was like, you know, the future are the kids. So now that we know the future are the kids, why is he being asked to go to this thing? I really don't understand sometimes other people's ways of thinking, because the reality is hard to, one, to put up with itself. And then you got to go into another realm to try to understand what they're talking about. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we're tired. You know what I'm saying? We're tired. We're beat up. We don't want to hear, you know, this, and we don't want to hear that. We want to go home. We want to talk to our children. And sometimes even then, our children get on our nerves, and we're like, oh, just give me a little time to, you know, just gather myself, and we can get it on. We can get it together. But, whew, man. Where do we go? Where did we go? So as I wrap this up right here, the last couple of minutes, we know that in the stories of the Bourne series, that these agents, I should say with an S, are genetically enhanced somehow in some way. And there's stages of these different programs. Secondly, we know that the people behind the scenes that are doing the technology and the research and all these things have a higher level of moral, sin-eating belief system than you know. Because right now they're doing it for their country. They're doing it for a greater cause. Thirdly, education. It is good to not have education. It is good to be successful. And it's not even bad to have a little money. But know your price. Know your cutoff. Because if you don't know your cutoff, you're going to be pulled in something that you may not be ready for. And when you get there and you think you're ready for it, then they come and snatch you up. Oh, boy. What do we do then? What do we do then? I have no idea. Oh, it's gonna be really tough. But, you know, hey, that's the deal or decision you have to make. I'm not trying to make it. I don't even know. How they feel, what they feel, but it's totally up to you. So, my name's George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forums. Thank you for listening. You have a good night. God bless. Until next time.